And we're back with Dr. James Hansen, Jim Hansen, the author of the biography of Neil Armstrong, First Man, and a number of other books. So, I mean, there's a couple of sort of, I guess, controversial topics that go around with regard to Neil, and they're touched on in the book, but like things like the who was first out of the lunar module, mm-hmm. his relationship with Buzz Aldrin, photography on the moon. What was there any bitterness or rancor or any sort of touchiness on Neil's part in talking about any of those subjects?
No, not really. Although, you know, I could, you know, beneath the surface, he had, you know, he had some, you know, some thoughts and some feelings that, you know, maybe didn't go, that didn't go expressed, but I kind of figured them out anyway. I mean, for example, the issue of Neil, of Buzz not taking photographs of Neil on the lunar surface. I mean, this is something that a lot of people to this day don't know, that all of those remarkable photographs, the famous photographs of the astronaut coming down the ladder and standing at the flag and all of that, but those are pictures of Buzz, not Neil. Neil had the camera first. It did go to Buzz eventually. But, you know, Neil took all those pictures of Buzz, and then when Buzz had the camera, Buzz, you know, there's only like three shots from with the Hasselblad camera, which was the main photographic camera, that Neil even appears in, and you know, and they're not explicitly you know, he wasn't really shooting to have a picture of Neil. So you see a part of a backpack or part of a leg or something like
all
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you know, I talked to Buzz about this, and you know, Buzz had some interesting responses to my inquiries about that. But in terms of Neil, you know, Neil's response after I kind of went through all this with him was, and he didn't detail anything. All he said was, well, you know, I guess Buzz was more photogenic than me. that was just all he was going to say about it. I mean, I knew that he, you know, did he care that there weren't photographs of him? I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think he did. At the same time, he was such a, you know, he's such a modest man, and he knew it wasn't really, I mean, it wasn't about him. I think the problem was it shouldn't have been about Buzz either.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. And, understand.
And one thing about Neil, and I'm trying to think about this, you know, honestly, in all of our conversations, I don't think he ever mentions Buzz by name.
Actually, it's interesting you say that. I went and saw Neil when he was at the CPA event in Sydney back in 2011. And mm-hmm. you're right. During that entire presentation, he referred to Buzz as his co-pilot or my crewmate.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So he doesn't. You know, the most pointed comment that he ever made about anybody was that comment I told you about in the earlier session about Chuck Yeager.
Right.
You know, that's the only time I ever heard him say anything, you know, directly critical or demeaning to somebody. And in the case of Yeager, if you read my book, he had very good reasons to express that about Yeager. That's right. Because Yeager was a real snake when it came to his dealings with Armstrong.
Yeah.
But in terms of Buzz, you know, Neil just never, you know, he never said anything specifically about Buzz. He answered my questions, but, you know, I knew that he wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to go there. You
right.
know, I talked about issues related to the decision of, you know, who was going to be first out of the limb and all of this kind of stuff. He never answered the questions in a way that brought Buzz directly into the into the picture, you know. And you know, one thing about my book that I put forward that neither Buzz nor Neil, I'm not sure, you know, even to the end whether Neil accepted this or not. But you know, what the astronauts themselves were told about who was going to go out first had to do with the interior makeup of the lunar module and the positioning of the astronauts inside in the way that the hatch opened.
Sure.
And, you know, they were told that, you know, and they knew from, you know, from ground, from simulations of egress, that the way the hatch opened, it was going to be, it kind of opened in such a way that it was going to be a lot easier for the commander to get out than the lunar module pilot. But, and so they accepted that. And Buzz, I know, I think still accepted it to this day. But I, in my research, you know, I had talked to a couple of key people, including Chris Kraft, that, you know, I became aware that there had been a meeting, a private meeting of Deke Slayton, Chris Kraft, Bob Gilruth, and George Lowe, you know, four of the high poobahs of the manned space program. And they had a meeting where they discussed the first out issue, and they all agreed that they knew that whoever came went out first was going to be this world historic figure. You know, there's going to be another Charles Lindbergh, and they felt that Neil was very Lindbergh-like, and that he, being modest and shy and not much ego, he was going to be perfect for that role. Whereas Buzz was going to be something quite different.
Yeah.
And I was told, you know, by Chris Kraft, you know, about this meeting, and he said that, that it was a 100% consensus of the four men in that meeting that it was not going to be Aldrin going out.
Sure. You know,
it was going to be, and so the issue of the issue, I mean, you couldn't tell the public that, though. I mean, couldn't tell the astronauts that was the basis of your decision. But it had to be, because I remember talking to Al Bean, who was the Buzz Aldrin of the Apollo 12 flight. You know, he was the pilot for Al Bean.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about this first out and, you know, the layout of the interior of the limb and that. And he said, Jim, that was just such a smokescreen because, you know, if we wanted the lunar module pilot to go out first, he could have done it very easily, because the argument that was being made was, you know, when the astronauts got in their spacesuits, you know, there wasn't much room to move around. And the walls of the limb were so so thin, that, and there were fuses and switches, that in that big backpack, you know, an astronaut could easily, you know, sort of damage the interior of the limb. And so that was part of the reasoning that was put out there as to why, you know, why the commander had to go out first. But Al Bean said, look, you wouldn't, I mean, it could be solved simply by the fact the astronauts just move positions before they put their spacesuits on.
Yes, of course.
And then put them on, and then you're in, you know, then you've got the lunar module pilot in the position where the commander was. So if they had wanted, you know, if they had wanted the lunar module pilot to go out first, they could have, it could have been worked out.
Sure.
You know, the technical reason was not the main reason. And of course, to us, it kind of makes sense that, well, why wouldn't the commander go out first? You know, I mean, you'd think that would be. But the precedent that had been set in the Gemini program that preceded Apollo was that, you know, and then that's where they first did EVAs. The precedent was the commander stayed in the spacecraft and it was the other guy that went out.
Yeah.
So as Gemini moved into the Apollo years, you know, and it hadn't really been determined yet who was going to, you know, get out of the spacecraft first. There were people who thought, well, in Gemini it had worked this way, so maybe it'll work that way in Apollo. I know Buzz certainly wanted it to be that way, but that was not to happen.
Yeah, for sure. So, did in your discussions with Neil, did he talk about any of the other sort of portrayals of him that have gone out, like From the Earth to the Moon and other productions? Had he seen those? What did he think of those? Was it ever something that he worried about?
I asked him about the From the Earth to the Moon in particular, and he said he hadn't watched it.
Oh, is that right?
Which is amazing to me, you know, that you wouldn't watch. But that's just typical of Neil. I mean, and I can tell you my own opinion of it is the actor who played Neil was, I think, Tony Goldwyn. Mm-hmm. And Tony's a very good actor. He's in a program right now in the U.S. that I like a lot. But he was a rotten Neil Armstrong. I think the problem was, and this is a problem that, you know, because the film rights to my book have been out there now, a couple of different movie studios have had them and have had scripts written. But, you know, I don't think they know how to cast Neil, and I don't think they know how, you know, I don't think the actor knows how to portray him.
Right.
He's so, he's such a nuanced personality. I think, you know, others might think he's just kind of a vanilla, you know, flavored personality and kind of bland and all that. And I don't think he's that at all. He's just very nuanced. And so, you know, if he ever gets, if the book ever does come to the screen, either motion pictures or TV, you know, it's going to be the challenge of showing those nuances. And, but that's the only portrayal that, I mean, he would be agitated sometimes when documentary teams would, you know, he agreed to, you know, to be interviewed or to be used in various documentaries. There was one that was done in Britain, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and Neil was in the end got very upset about it because he told them that he would appear on camera and that he would present a. In a sense, he would present kind of a monologue. You know, he would have a prepared set of comments that he would not read, but he would comment on, and that would be what would be used in the documentary. And he told them he wouldn't do an interview. You know, it would not be an interview. Well, the producers of the documentary, you know, did not live up to the bargain, because what they did is they took this longer monologue and they cut it into pieces, into bites, to make it look like he was being interviewed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to us,
he would have hated that.
You might think that's a trivial, you know, so what? You know, it's still what he said. But for Neil, that was somebody was not living up to what they told him. And that kind of thing really made him mad.
Sure.
You know, and I know that he would never. You know, he told me he would never, you know, deal with these people again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, dealing with Neil was challenging. I mean, and he did, I mean, he agreed when my book came out, he agreed to do 2 different media events. And we, you know, we weren't sure which ones to do. And the very first request for an interview came from 60 Minutes on our CBS, which is very, very, you know, big audience on Sunday night. And I told Neil that 60 Minutes wanted him, and he didn't want to do 60 Minutes.
How's that?
Well, 60 Minutes had a reputation for kind of being, you know, really a deeply investigative sort of program, and CBS itself, some thought, had kind of a liberal political bias, and Neil didn't, you know, that wasn't Neil. And so he didn't really want to do 60 Minutes, but my publisher really wanted him to do 60 Minutes because they thought it would be worth doing one 60 Minutes would be better than 2 of anything else. So I you know, at my publisher's behest, I asked Neil, you know, I said to him, if you do 60 Minutes, that's all you need to do. You don't need to do anything else. And he took that. So we have a real nice, and he did a terrific job. I mean, that 60 Minutes interview, he was delightful in it, and it was great, and it showed it was aired the night before the book came out, so it did good things for the book. But you know, he was very, very selective about what, you know, what he would do publicly.
For sure.